And there is criticism of that. Yet on the other hand, of Smith Committee yesterday, there was great interest in promoting what the universities are doing in various places and letting people know, well, how do you do that? You advertise. So there is a kind of a mixed signal being given about what's important and what's not important in the legislature, and I think that's part of the concern that everybody has about the budget, and everybody is just pretty tense and concerned because all of their favorite projects or favorite programs are everything's on the table, everything's being threatened, so that's a problem. The Chancellor, I think, did make very good arguments and is sticking by the board's opinion about how it wants to run the university system and how it wants to handle things like layoffs. There were a lot of questions, and he got grilled about furloughs, and there are some departments that are doing furloughs as a way to address their budget issues. He and the board seem to be adamantly opposed to furloughs as being a short-term answer to a very long-term problem. You can furlough a short time, but after that you begin to really lose your capabilities and your service. If you don't have people there, you can't do the work. So that's not one that's high on the board's on the regents list in terms of how it wants to handle services. But they are cutting back some 800 positions around the university system. A lot of those have not been filled, but there are some that have been. But yet there are commitments. If you're gaining a huge number of new students, they've added a tremendous number of students every year, and you have to provide them with courses and support, and that's what they and in the same way, parallel is what libraries are doing now. We can show that the tremendous increase in library use through those basic performance numbers that services are up, and that does create incremental pressure and incremental cost to continue trying to maintain the good level of service that everybody's trying to provide.
Let me ask you a question about the 2009 budget, which has already been reduced.
Mm-hmm.
And was taken out of the materials grant.
Mm-hmm.
For 2010, is that just maintained as the status quo with the population changes?
Yes. Basically, yes. It's not an additional 8% on top of that.
Okay.
It basically is you create a new base, and that base is reflected in the 2010 budget.
Okay. When will we see the OPD population projections? Do you have those already?
That's what that increase is based on. That's what we use to tell them what number we needed.
Right.
And those numbers are out
there.
They're
on the OPD website.
They're on the OPD website.
Them to somebody yesterday. Super, I think.
Thanks, since 2015. PDF.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see if I'll let me find 2010 and send you that
what we'll be getting pretty soon, too. Do our budget?
Mm-hmm. It will. Chris is working on that now.
Julie, you were in the room, you might want to chime in on the Chancellor's presentation. Luckily, there were no questions
about
libraries.
Lamar.
Yes.
Lamar.
Corrine.
I just wanted to say, I think you've done a really good job so far of highlighting his talk and what he relayed, and he was in Bainbridge on Friday, the day after the presentation, which was a week ago today, I believe, and the man was worn out.
Yeah, it was a grilling. It really was.
He got a grilling like you can just not imagine, and I think he did a very good job. I really and truly do. But I think your summary of some of the high points, I think you did a very good job of relaying to the group his, you know, his remarks and everything too. And I will tell you, right after the night after Sonny had given his speech and everything, we were with him, and he looked at me and he said, "I bet you smiled when you saw that library." And I said, "You know I did." And he said, "Well, they were ready to go projects that will make a difference in the state." So anyway, we'll have to see what, you know, happens and everything with that. But good summary of the chancellor's remarks, and anyway, we'll have to see. Thank you for letting me put that
in. Thank you very much. Julie?
And I would certainly agree. And he really did do a wonderful job. He was very, they asked so many questions, and I was amazed at how he had every answer right at his fingertips to respond to any of the questions that the committee members and the other senators and representatives asked. But you did really cover everything that he spoke about. And did mention libraries a number of times, but none of the questions targeted the libraries. So. It was fascinating to be there.
Very good.
Are state positions still frozen?
There is, yes, they are. They are not automatically granted for replacement, but the process has been pretty generous in allowing individual libraries to apply. Julie, you can talk about that process.
There's a critical hire exemption. And once a position becomes vacant, we ask the director to write Dr. Beach a letter describing the reason that this position is critical to go ahead and be filled and not be frozen at this time. We forward that on to, there's called a workforce team that is made up of the State Personnel Association and OPB, and they both have to review that exemption and grant it. And we have been very fortunate. They have been. Almost everyone we've done has been turned around within 48 hours. I've had one now that's been out for 2 weeks, and we haven't heard. And I've checked, and it's where it's supposed to be. It's still being reviewed. So I don't know if things are changing or what's going on with that one, why that one is still out right now. But for the most part, we've had a couple that have been denied, but most of them have been granted when the director has been able to make a strong case.
Well, we're on budgets. And the whole business of cuts. Is there currently a freeze on new library systems coming into Pines Evergreen? Because there have been some talk about it, but I haven't heard a real conclusion.
We haven't had anyone ask be ready currently, so that has not come up.
But if they did ask?
If they did ask, it would largely, I think, depend on how big the system was and how much it would cost to get them in, you know, what shape their records were in, what system they were currently on. Just it, certainly if it
so
was not a
small,
large...
small, but probably not large.
And what, you could, and what you could bring, to, what that library could bring to the table, how well, how ready they are.
Exactly.
Because
one of the reasons...
Which has an impact on cost, obviously.
Right. It would just strictly come down to cost at this point. The Pines budget is incredibly tight. They're just going to make it to the end of the year. But if we could do it with very little cost... certainly, the door is not slammed closed.
One other question. I'm pleased to see the shovel-ready projects list, but as we're talking about the possible application of stimulus or whatever we're going to call this package, is there interest in revisiting the idea of renovation and repair in certain areas, like technology and green areas and ADA, because a lot of times projects that we would pull from our regular list that are shovel-ready are limited to those that people theoretically have that's going to bring them up to standard, and they're going to have to build at that level to put it in. They're going to have their match, all that kind of thing. If we're able to do projects such as ADA compliance, you know, power assist doors, technology expansions and such as that, a lot of libraries in my kind of area would be able to come up with a match for that without being able to come up with a match that would make their whole facility currently up to state standard if you've got a big growth in population.
Mm-hmm. We have had a conversation in the last week about looking at the type of infrastructure that would include computer replacements, firewalls, that kind of thing, as part of that package. And that's a big hope of ours, is that we could.
But it's also been mentioned, and I cannot remember who sent a note on this out, but replacing lighting in a great number of libraries.
Written in my page over
would be,
here.
Would have a tremendous impact on not only improving efficiency in buildings, but also for, getting money out into the economy through the electricians and purchasing new fixtures and that sort of thing. So I think that's one that we can take to the state, take to the governor's office and talk about.
Two of our three facilities don't have power assist doors right yet.
None of them
are required to.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of libraries are in the same situation. If they came along with a new building project in the last few years, they were able to do that as part of that construction project.
Mm-hmm.
But to retrofit existing buildings, mm-hmm. that money hasn't been there. Now, I know we've applied for some through MR&R,
right.
But that hasn't been, you haven't been able to get to that priority
to get to those issues.
So I'm hoping maybe you could use that sort of thing. Because we could come up with, I just don't want people to think, well, they didn't have any match money. We could have match money for that kind of project.
And again, whether that would require a match, whether that would be...
And it might not.
Or would we set up a new rule that said 90-10, 80-20? I think that's something that we can propose in within whatever the governor decides is the spectrum. But certainly efficiencies, creating efficiencies, if you've got lighting that's over 5 years old, bingo, you qualify and you get so much per square foot for that facility. That would be pretty easy to get out the door and
lots of public support for it.
And there would be a lot of public support for it, exactly. So that's another idea that I hope we can brainstorm throughout the rest of the day in terms of what we could develop and then have a list of, good, decent proposals that could get money out to literally 159 counties.
Yeah. I have that later on the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I hope everybody read the 95 pages of the Economic Stimulus Act, because there was a lot of verbiage in there, but there were a couple of nuggets that I think we could attach ourselves to. And I think the idea is that Lamar would go to the governor with some ideas on how we might be able to take part in the Economic Stimulus Act. So we are going to talk about that a little later in the agenda. But I hope you all have read it and have some ideas, because that really would get the conversation going. But I want to continue with any questions that anyone has about the budget, and then keep moving down the list. Okay. No other questions about budget at this point? Okay. Keep going, Lamar.
Courier service.
I did that while you were out of the room.
Oh, you did?
I did audits
okay.
while you were out of the room.
All right.
Over to LSTA.
Well, I do want to talk again about audits, because I think this is something that was a smack in the face a year or so ago when we got the budget and realized that it was indeed true. Department of Audits was cutting us loose. And we wanted to, and I think everybody has come together. I think that the work of the group, the consortial group from the Black Bod Consortial Group, I'm so proud of that effort that was a wonderful initiative. I think it raised the quality. I think it raised the standard of what libraries are capable of doing. And Julie and the work that, in a sense, it dovetailed with what Pinnacle had been working on with Tracy Arner. And I think that this agreed-upon procedures is a wonderful answer Obviously, when I briefed Teresa McCartney at OPB on this, we were able to tell her that number one, we had buy-in from senior officials in the Office of Planning, in the Audit Department. We had buy-in from the internal auditors at the Board of Regents who had reviewed this every step of the way and had approved it, that we had developed a prototype, had had it tested, and we feel like we've got the right kind of product that's going to address a great number of the library system needs as far as good, appropriate fiscal accounting is concerned, without all of the extraneous stuff that is required of organizations that actually go out for bonding or have to go get bond ratings and things like that. So I think that what's been agreed upon and what's been and how we're moving forward with this, if there are more libraries that want to come in on this, there's no reason we couldn't go from 2 to 3 people who go out and do this. So I think we'll have a cohort of people of highly trained CPAs who can go out. Unfortunately, we've had to, you know, ask you to pony up the money to pay for these people, but it is only the libraries that use the service that are going to be asked to pay for it, plus a little bit of supervision from Julie and Christopher. But I think we will have a very, very finely developed method of providing at a very reasonable cost, fiscal accountability. But Teresa, we scored some brownie points with Teresa McCartney and OPB when I said this is something that we're going to handle ourselves. We're not coming back to you for money to do this. We're going to do this internally, and it seems to be the right kind of approach for us to take at this point. So I think we've got fiscal accountability. I briefed several people in the at the legislature about this, particularly the legislators who were concerned about what was happening and what was going on with the auditing of public libraries. But I think we're going to have a good system that is appropriate for the level of fiscal accountability and fiscal oversight that is there.
I have a suggestion that I would like to make in regard to the agreed-upon procedures. For those of us who are in Pines, getting the proper Pines reports for the audit has been an issue. I would really like to suggest that since we are going to have these people in-house, that we have our Pines people work with our audit people to come up with providing all of the appropriate reports for the audit to all of those who are taking part in the agreed-upon procedures, that, as I say, the audit people work with the Pines Evergreen people to develop the reports that will get the information that we all need for our audits, for those of us who are in Pines, because I don't see any reason why we should all reinvent the wheel when it's a matter of them deciding, the audit people deciding what they need from us, and then the Pines people developing reports that would be appropriate for that.
Well, and that makes so much sense because now they're all going to be on staff together,
exactly.
The auditors and the Pines people.
Exactly.
They can work very closely.
But that would mean talking to each other internally. How hard that is.
Is that allowed?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But it would really simplify all of our lives.
Absolutely.
And like I say, it would keep us from each having to try to create that in-house. And it would be consistent then throughout. For all the people who are having to provide the information, they're going to be getting the same information for everybody.
Yes. That makes all the sense.
Right.
Yep.
Is there a second to Donna's motion?
Second.
Okay.
We'll take it down as a directive.
And thank you. Is there any further discussion about this? Because we should have this as an official vote.
Okay. I recommend the GPI.
I have a question.
Okay.
Are there particular problems being able to get those reports for your auditors?
Yeah, there. It depends on the Pines reports are currently fairly complicated to run, and it depends on whether a system has someone who is thoroughly trained and comfortable with the reporting system. What we have just recently realized is that because it is fairly complex and because the Equinox people are looking at totally revamping the report system, we are going to devote less time to trying to train library staff and more time to we will just do your report for you right now until the simplified system is in place. So that burden is shifting back to the Pine staff to run reports now.
Susan.
Chris? Just a comment. Several of the libraries still have to have regular audits and have requests into Pine for certain reports.
Uh-huh.
We're taking findings on our audits because we don't have access to those reports. We can't run those reports. Please take into consideration we've been waiting for a number of years for these reports to be developed. It would kind of hurt greatly if all of a sudden, and I don't want to say don't do this, but please can you not push us
right.
from the back.
Keep you in the queue where you are.
And have us have more years of audit. Hopefully some of these reports will help us.
Will help everyone.
Well, I do think that it should not just be the libraries who are
in Pine.
Of course. Or the libraries who are doing the agreed upon procedures,
right.
because obviously there are some who cannot because they're component parts.
Right.
But I still think that it is incumbent upon the Pine staff to meet the needs of all of the libraries for the reports they need to adequately make their auditors happy.
Well, it goes beyond that. It's not just to make the auditors happy. It's an issue of fraud.
It is.
According to our auditor.
Uh-huh.
And she's a certified fraud examiner.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we really need. We need to be transparent to the public taxpayer.
Library collection fraud, is that what you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. When they can't put their finger, you say you have it, but where is it?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, we actually had someone ask us, what did you do with this?
And then your board says, why?
Now, is this money that you're talking about? Or
no,
is
it's
an
a book.
Oh.
How you can't. Able to account for
money
disappears.
Like your fixed asset
finding. Oh.
I mean, it's nothing to laugh about. That auditors do not laugh at it, neither do our board members.
That's right.
It's a big finding.
It really is it's a huge finding, since that's 90% of what libraries do.
Mm-hmm.
And because when you see Baker and Taylor or Ingram,
that's
you're
right.
going to sign that check.
That's right.
You're going to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have a motion, a second, lots of discussion. I'll call the question. Those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Those opposed? Thank you. Motion passes.
A challenge to the Pine staff.
Okay. Next.
LSTA. Let's talk macro first, and then we can talk about this budget sheet that we've prepared for you. Right now, the recommended LSTA funding is at $171 million in Washington, and there is great expectation and a great agreement that that level will be approved and move forward in the funding. Federal funding is under a continuing.
Resolution
at this point, and we hope it'll get finalized fairly soon. So that level is important because it kicks in a different base funding structure for all the libraries that really doesn't affect Georgia, because we're in that kind of sweet spot that it really doesn't matter if the formula leans toward small states or large states. We're pretty much okay, but there's some states that really get hurt, particularly very small ones with very tiny populations, that base amount jumps from $350,000 to $600,000 or something like that, and that base amount is important for them, so that's why that 171 is kind of the magic number. There is also work going on at the national level and certainly within COSLA about the LSTA reauthorization. That's up now, if you can believe it, another 5 years. So, again, with very minor tweaking of some of the language. They're interested in moving that forward and trying to get that reauthorized as promptly as possible. I think they've got congressional support in those for moving that forward. Unfortunately, the committee that is responsible for handling that has some big agenda items ahead of it. Health and Human Services has things like Medicare and No Child Left Behind, and those are just giant gorillas in the room in terms of our little program. So we don't know what the scheduling is, but certainly there's nobody against, we don't think there's anybody against the LSTA program. And so we're certainly hopeful that that will continue along. I don't see that our Georgia LSTA award, $4.6 million, is going to change that much. And we don't think that anything that goes on at the national level will have a tremendous impact on. There won't be a sea change of a change in direction for that. But again, I think that everything will continue to remain hopeful. What we wanted to do is share this view because obviously, if we're taking major cuts in our state funding to operate state level and consortial level services that we have been doing. Particularly in the area of Courier and Pines, we probably are looking at putting more LSTA money into those particular programs under the rubric of resource sharing. That is a major part of LSTA priorities. So there's nothing improper about moving money into those areas. But that's going to mean that we have to take a hard look at all of our LSTA funding to make sure that we put the money in what are the highest priorities. And if there are things that we have been doing that literally in this day and age aren't as important as some of the more critical services and programs, then we've got to think about shifting and take a hard look at that. So I would appreciate some thoughtful discussion today. I know it's always thoughtful, but some discussion today about and giving us some feedback on what to think about in terms of how we might continue to hone and manage this LSTA funding on your behalf. So that's what we have in front of you is a we wanted to summarize it as best we could to show where in terms of program budgeting, where our funding goes for these library services, so you get a perspective on just how what we're doing with it and just how much money. So it's a reminder to most of you because you've seen it, you've seen this in the past.
Mark, is Georgia about 12 million people now?
No. We're
10.
10, yeah, 9.7 or 10 or something like that. It depends on which.
Well, I know LSTA is based on that population.
Yeah. And I think that's out on the IMLS website if we wanted to. We could certainly get that and look at it. Yeah.
How much of a local match is required for talking books?
It's not just talking books. It is the entire program. There is a local match requirement, and then there is a maintenance of effort requirement. And I've just asked Diana Berry to put a document together that addresses those two particular issues, so everybody is clear on what maintenance of effort is and what level that is required of us. And then what the local match requirements are. Some of those things have changed a little bit. I just came back from a COSLA meeting in Denver that was held in conjunction with the ALA Midwinter, and very frankly, there are some horror stories that are, I just got a paper cut, there are some horror stories of coming out of other states. Louisiana has already had a 7% budget cut, and they are told to prepare for a 40% cut. Nevada is looking at a 50% budget cut. So in the case of Louisiana, they're already pink slipping some of their professionals on their staffs. That's pretty hurtful, but we're seeing 20-30% cuts being projected in many of the states. I think in the Southeast seems to be particularly hard hit, those percentage cuts. So I feel, you know, I guess we can take some consolation in being on the low end of those cuts at this point with 8%. But it still makes you, oh, thank you. I don't want to finger. Actually, I do have one. Thank you. So I'll use them all. Thank you, Joe.